Thomas Torero podcast 152 on Sin City Stories from Praha. I was going to say it's a threesome, but it's a four-way. So you're getting ideas already. Four men in a room. It's a completely straight podcast. We will be discussing filthy cities and filthy stories. And two of the voices you'll recognize, one of them especially, we did a podcast called Filth. A very popular podcast from... Where were we? In an airport somewhere? LA. It was extremely filthy. So you can listen to that podcast on Filth. And the other guest you'll recognize, because it was another filthy podcast called... What was it called, Troy Francis?
Ooh, what was it called? It was about loads of filthy stuff, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'll find it.
Yes, it was... Oh, it will come to me in a minute, but it was very filthy.
It will come all over you. But, so there we go. There's already two filthy podcasts out there. We aim to add another one in Bukowski style. Charles Bukowski used to write a column called Notes of a Dirty Old Man. And I was going to call this podcast Notes of a Dirty Old Man, but I'm not the oldest in the room. Thank fuck for that. We got Craig Cassidy here, who is, how old, Craig?
19. No, 32 next month.
32.
This month, actually.
God, you look 52, mate.
32.
32, yeah.
We've got Troy Francis in the room.
21.
Forever 21.
44. I'm afraid.
What? 44.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, this is good stuff. And we've got Mr. F.
Yeah.
From the United States of America. God bless the USA.
Indeed. I'm Frank, Washington, D.C., and I will be 42 this year.
Sounds like the intro to one of those
videos.
Yeah.
It is, actually.
Or we just say, like, Alcoholics Anonymous when you go around the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, my name's Tom, and I'm
an... Our combined ages, then, can somebody add it up? Somebody good at arithmetic? Because that's a lot of game experience there, isn't it?
It's like 150-something? No, more.
Mm.
Around there.
Experience in a room around a table in Prague in the Czech Republic, which is called the Dark City. If you look into Prague, I know you probably think it's all squeaky clean and you've been and you've seen the clock and you've gone round with your mum or your girlfriend and you think, oh, Prague's very nice. There's many layers to Prague, and obviously in the early 90s and before that, it was as seedy as places like Times Square in New York in the 80s and Berlin. And it's still got it. You have to look for it in Prague, but it's still got it. And if you do day game, if you do gutter game, Prague is magic. As soon as the sun goes down, it gets a really filthy vibe, even in the old town square. So we'll talk about that. But look into Prague, look into Franz Kafka, look into...
Milan Kundera.
Kundera, yeah. The Unbearable Lightness of Being is a book written about the dark nature of Prague. And getting pissed here, you probably know about absinthe. It is a dark city. It's got something about it. So that's on our list for today. Right. Sin City Stories. We'll begin with Craig because you got a lot of Prague stories, but one literally happened 48 hours ago, 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
In a gutter game session. And this is not the one that's on the blog. You're thinking, oh, I've read this one before. No, this happened a couple of days ago.
Yeah, so randomly, I'm here teaching, and we were out doing some gutter game, weren't we? Well, me and Mr. F planned to do some gutter game. We were strolling through Old Town Square, and then, lo and behold, I bump into these two creepy old men. randomly, we didn't know that we were in the city. I didn't know that these guys were in the city. So our kind of gutter game session got postponed a bit, and we went to some underground
golden tree.
There's which a is free nugget of information.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this weird underground. How would you describe it? It's not really a strip club. It's
it tends to be a bar, but it's a seedy amateur strip club.
So anyway, yeah, a couple of beers in there, and we said our goodbyes, and then we went to hit the streets, didn't we?
We did.
Did a few approaches out on the main shopping street. The vibe was still a bit too...
Too early?
Too early, a bit too much like day games still. There was still a lot of families and people milling about, which I know Tom loves.
Yeah, that's my take.
Ooh. What's that?
Just told you, Dark City.
There you go, ghosts.
So 80s, this apartment, by the way. Like something from Eurotrash, isn't it?
Oh, you should see the bulb in my room. It's like pink. So at night, it looks like a brothel. Yeah, just like a pink glow.
We should have recorded it with a pink bulb, shouldn't we, together?
This is pretty soothing.
Yeah.
How do you know when a game begins? Your feeling. Is there feeling in the night?
It's an intuition. It's hard to explain. It's an intuition for me. It's I feel the vibe change. Weirdly, I can be out at say like 10 p.m. and know that it's not the right time yet, and then an hour later it's completely different. I want to say it's when the sun drops, but that's not always the case.
You're right, families go, tourists kind of go.
Yeah,
and people are wandering aimlessly.
Yeah, and I think that the low light helps, like glistening eyes, big eyes. And so when I'm stopping girls, generally I'm giving them these big kind of eyes. It's really hard for me to describe it, but it's just a feeling that I've got from years of doing it, I guess. But it was definitely too early when we were out. So I suggested that we go and grab another drink, wait an hour, and then go out. So we went to one of these seedy, but it's a bit tacky backpackery bar called, is it Cinnabar?
One Club.
Cinnabar, I don't know where Cinnabar. Yeah, One Club. It's like a right before you get to Old Town, it's like this backpacker kind of bar. And we were in there at the bar, and Frank points out a lonely little blonde girl in the corner, and she was sat all alone. And I thought you told me to do it. And he's putting his middle finger up to me. In my mind, you told me to demo.
This is always in his mind.
But anyway, you went to the bathroom, I think. I went over there, basically. I opened her, and within a few minutes, she told me that, well, I found out that she was there alone, which is kind of like a gift from God.
Wow.
19-year-old Finnish girl.
Having a drink,
just on her own, just been sightseeing.
In the lion's den.
And I kind of, at this point, look up at the sky and mouth, thank you.
Yeah.
Invite myself to sit down. She said, yeah. Then I had to kind of sell Frank out and say that he was off home, which I apologise.
I was shortly after.
I did look round and you'd gone. Just the seat was swivelling round like
you'd gone.
I met Frank, just to interlude, I met Frank maybe an hour or so later, standing lonely by a sausage stand with a beer in his hand, looking up in the sky.
Staring forlornly at the sausage.
Just saying, why? Sorry, but we did.
Yeah, so we finished the drink in there, and I bounced her. It was pretty easy. She had nothing to do, so I bounced her to this date venue that I'd gone to the previous night with a girl that I met here last time, which is on your blog, that lay report from your blog. So I've seen a girl from last time as well. Anyway, I took this Finnish girl to this underground bar. It's really cool. They have like live piano. It's very dark in there, candlelight, cocktails, that kind of stuff. And then she started opening up in there about being from a very conservative family, not that much experience with guys, and that her parents were very, very strict, and she had had sex before, but she said her parents would kill her if she knew.
Especially with you.
Yeah, which...
she does sound like a high-quality girl, then.
She was lovely. But she had this really cheeky dark streak to her that I could see. You'd look at her and most guys would go, oh, that's, you know, a nice girl.
Yeah.
She's short, sweet, blonde, like high giggly voice, but I could see there was some kind of mischievous child in there, and that kind of came out after a few drinks. He started playing silly buggers, being all like just giving me lots of shit. But I knew it was on. Like, we got to a phase where I was asking her about her exes and stuff, and she dated just this guy that her parents had kind of vetted for her.
Beautiful.
So anyone that's been doing this a while knows that if a girl's had a very reserved upbringing, that if they're in a city alone like this, they're looking for adventure. I knew it was just a case of biding my time, creating a bit of rapport with her. And then, the bounce was pretty easy. Back here, she just turned into this ball of crazy fucking energy. And it was a tiny little body. It was amazing. It was amazing. Tom's here. it was fucking amazing. And, she stayed the night, and I banged her again in the morning and then sent her on her way. And No contact.
Imagine a conversation with their mum and dad, and they go, "How was Prague?" It's, yeah, it was really. I saw the clock, and I saw.
Yeah, that's what it is. I saw some cock. But I love the fact that she didn't even opt to like want to exchange details. For her, it was purely
secret society.
Yeah,
she got it out of her system.
Yeah,
rather into her system.
Yeah, and I want to say it was a case of right place, right time. But there was still some game needed. Yeah. She was. I think an inexperienced guy would have fallen into a frame a little bit because, you know...
Taking her out clubbing is the usual mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go clubbing! Okay, you know.
And you know how, like, crazy little 19-year-old girls can be.
Just whole night.
Yeah, clubbing. So... But there was some game needed, but all in all, it was a gift from God, really. I mean, if ever you see a girl drinking alone in a bar and you don't open, you're a bit of a silly boy. But, yeah, that was kind of my story.
I'm persuading Craig, I don't know if it'll happen, but we'll either write something about Gutter Game or film something about Gutter Game, because I've not met a day gamer who's better at Gutter Game than Craig Cassidy. That's not blowing smoke up your ass. It's just Craig's niche.
Thank you.
So if you're into that kind of neon, noir, extra filthy flavour of day game, we need to document it, because it's very hard to describe, and there are big differences from day game and dating and texting. But anyway, it's a perfect city to do that in, and what a memory for that girl, you know, because Prague has got that dirty side, and she met a dirty guy, and she'll remember that forever, man. That
it was awesome, man. It was awesome.
Bloody good. And we were just saying before we hit record, Craig doesn't keep like track of numbers and stuff, but it would be ridiculous if you crunched your numbers from world tour to now. It's so.
I would say
it's beautiful, you know.
I would say one lay per 10 approaches, and that's being generous as well. I think on the world tour it's 1 in 2.
Yeah, and you're having time off, doing like normal life stuff.
Yeah, so like guys probably haven't seen me put out a lot of stuff recently, and that's not because I'm not active and not doing stuff. It's so I'm just being less public facing this year for other reasons.
He's working in McDonald's, by the way.
Yeah,
in Bristol.
Yeah. I'm actually I've joined a monastery.
That's why the notch count's really high.
And they'd be very upset if they knew this kind of stuff.
No, but you've done a lot of coaching and resis and
I'm still coaching, and I find like it's a little bit happier for me. I don't run around doing crazy stuff now. I approach off intuition generally, and I guess that's why my success rate is so good.
You've
become very efficient. Yeah,
you're the Ian of 2018, which is very good. Right, let's keep it about Sin Cities with Frank, Mr. F.
Can I call you Frank?
Yes, you can.
I'll keep that in.
Yeah,
I could beep it out, but all right. With Frank, and because you're our American at the table, can you go over just a little bit of the filthy history, because I know it's kind of cleaned up now and sanitized and very conservative, but can you still find filth in America? Well, you can, we've been to Vegas, but can you tell us some of the because it's in Europe obviously, but right, what's the background, and then add in one of your beautifully filthy stories,
sure,
a testimony to being 40 in your early 40s when you did it. Right,
yeah,
over to Frank.
Cool.
So, I mean, in terms of filth, you know, there's places where obviously people go to escape, you know, whether it's for like bachelorettes and stuff like that. You know, Vegas is a big one. I would say, in my experience, Miami is a city, and Florida in general is a place where people move to get away from their normal lives or normal identities. And you can do stuff there that you just can't do in the rest of the US, you know, like drinking in public and, you know, smoking weed on the streets, although now that type of thing's becoming more legal elsewhere.
Streetwalkers.
Yeah, I mean, I
area.
Yeah, you can certainly find streetwalkers, you know, which you don't see in a lot of US cities if you're looking for that. You know, something like swinging is much more tolerated, and, you know, even, I mean, I went to a swingers club eons ago in Miami, and it was very publicly advertised. It wasn't anything that was like hidden away. New Orleans is that type of a place. You know, obviously there's Mardi Gras, and again, like a lot of people go there for bachelorettes and bachelor parties, but just, you know, to get plastered and to, for some easy sex, because people are in a party mode when they go there. They're ready. That's what they're up for.
New York in the 80s, 90s?
I think New York is always crazy. It still is. And it truly is a party that doesn't stop. You know, obviously the prices have gone through the roof. I mean, in the 80s, it was just, it was dirty, it was dangerous, you know, really dangerous, chaotic, you know, like the number of murders and rapes and robberies was through the roof. But there was also that really cool edginess of a city like Berlin or something like that. You know, tons of artists, everybody was hanging out. You could go to a club and see Madonna or see, you know, Basquiat or somebody like that. And, you know, obviously drugs and Studio 54. But New York is always, you know, because it is a melting pot and a meeting point like London, you're going to have a lot of just random, incredible experiences, you know, which is why there's coaches there and good residentials and stuff like that. I mean, so I'm 41 now. I'll be 42 this summer. But a couple of years ago when I was just starting to dip my toes into what is game, but had no clue what I was doing.
This wasn't in New York, was it?
No, this was. Where
this was?
Yeah.
Oh, I
was just there for a weekend, doing a meeting up with a couple of friends, doing a little bit of sightseeing. And I had gotten there early in the afternoon. I was near Chelsea and I went for a jog. And I see what I thought was like a gorgeous, say, 22-year-old. She had sort of like this beautiful Mediterranean sort of Sophia Loren look. And I was just like, fuck it, you know, I'm gonna go up to her. So I said some first thing that came to my head, which was like, you know, how can you be alone? You're so good looking, you know, very cheesy. And she said, I'm not, this is my aunt. And she points to this, you know, woman in her 50s who happened to be doing some nanny work. This is a Latino woman, and I speak Spanish. I just started chatting with her in Spanish, and the aunt was charmed by me. And she said, why don't you two go off and have a coffee?
Aunt's going.
Yeah. And, yeah, and I was in my running shorts, my running shirt. I was a little sweaty. But this girl, you know, that sort of gave me a stamp of approval from the aunt, right? And the fact that I spoke Spanish and so on. Turns out this girl's half Guatemalan, half Argentinian. Beautiful, beautiful face, body. And she'd never been with a guy before. And it was, she was there on holiday visiting her aunt. And she was actually praying, she told me, to meet an older guy who would take her virginity. I mean, she told me this later. But she'd, you know, just never been with a guy. Very conservative family, very controlling, very dominating, and very repressive, you know. And she had just been fantasizing about this. Within about 20 minutes, we start making out because of the energy that was just incredible. We were going on this little bubble adventure, right, where we're just walking around Chelsea, the piers, holding hands. And I sit her down when she told me she's never kissed a guy. We just start making out. And she was only 18, so I got a little freaked out when she told me that. But I was 38 at the time,
yeah.
39 maybe,
yeah.
And we made out for like 3 hours, you know, just this incredible date bubble. I faded, I pulled away a bit because after she told me her age, I got a little freaked out, and my mates got a little freaked out when I told them, but she started texting me and following up with me, and then we just created this fantasy. I started texting her about things I wanted to do, and she was, you know, hook, line, and sinker. We started having phone sex, and then next thing you know, we make a plan to have sex. And that went over several days. You know, she was a virgin. She was so tight. Pardon the vulgarity, the description here,
no,
the detail.
That's what they're all thinking.
And it was, honestly, it was incredible. It went a little bit off the deep end. We dated long distance for like a year, roughly.
Naughty boy.
And we would go to these sex motels with jacuzzis and, you know, mirrors on the ceiling and shit. And it was heaven, you know, but it was crazy in the sense that it was a lot of energy, a lot of investment. And I started to be a little controlling and a little needy with her. And she started to get, I think, probably a little ready to go travel the world, which she eventually did.
Yeah.
But it was tremendous. I, you know, mentioning what you said about this Finnish girl and Craig and that girl having experience. I gave her an incredible first sexual experience and first love experience. You know, she was very in love at first.
Yeah.
And it was a great introduction. But yeah, it was pornographic. It was heavenly.
What do you think about the European CD vibe? Because we were talking about it at lunchtime. You said it's different.
Yeah, I mean, it just that it's much more relaxed and much more tolerant. You know, everybody here is, you know, drinking at 10, 11 a.m. It's not a big, it's not, I mean, there are like the stag do's and those are a little obnoxious, but it's just things in the States are much more Puritan and much more black or white, you know. So, you know, I haven't truly seen, felt like seediness here, but I would just say much more tolerance, much more relaxed attitude. Like, you go into a coffee shop, I mean, like even just like a little deli corner store, and they're all advertising all these products with marijuana in them and so on. And, you know, there's a lot of advertising with naked chicks and stuff like that. And it's just a lot more laid back. And just one point, you know, hearing Craig talk about the different bars, like, it's really an easy city to do dates in, because if you're in the old part and the center part, because you'll just have like bar after bar next to each other, and you can do really easy venue one, venue two, and then back to your flat, all within, you know, 100 meters or something like that. And the bars here are extremely cool, funky, and they create a vibe that you don't have to create.
The city, yeah.
The city, there isn't a city like this. And believe you me, I've tried looking for them. Prague has this magical thing where whatever you're doing, if it's gutter game or day game, you just wander around with a bird, and then you buy like a little lane, or you buy a river, then you buy the castle. I was on a date now with a girl in the park next to the castle, and you look down, you're like, fuck me, it does all the work for you, you know. That's why couples come here on holiday. I've done a holiday like that. I think you've done a few.
Yeah.
Have you been to Prague with a bird on a romantic trip? Yeah, Craig did a couple of hours without finishing it, but yeah, it's pretty dull actually. If you come as a couple, it's pretty dull, isn't it? We were talking about this. Like, you got to do the river, you got to do the museum. It's a bit boring, but for lovers and for sex and for the bubble,
yeah.
Prague. I mean, Vienna's close. Berlin's probably close. Mm-hmm. Barcelona's pretty cool. New York is endlessly cool. Oh, it's so magic. The chicken's magic in Harlem. Yeah, Craig loves Harlem, and he represents day game. Good luck. Go and take him in Harlem. Mr. F, yeah.
No, just
adding some more stuff.
No, I mean, I don't know much about this. You know, I'm still the beginner, the learner, but when you're in the secret society bubble, everything becomes dirty and naughty and seedy. So with this 18-year-old, we would go to a movie theater. I'd be fingering her in the movie theater. You know, we would go to like a shopping mall, and we would just bang in the car in the parking lot because we were so horny. And this is in shitty suburban America where it's boring and it's, you know, one fucking chain and mall after another.
It's going on all the time.
It's going on all the fucking time. She loved anything that was in public or that had an element of, you know, subtlety and discretion and naughtiness all at the same time.
This just links to this. Craig found a venue, we'll give it away. Craig found a venue in Los Angeles, which was up there with the world's top three venues. I'm not going to give away my other two filthy venues, but this was fucking made for filth. Yeah. Remember, it was a few streets away from us. We don't even know the name.
I don't remember the name, but
it was one back from Hollywood Boulevard, wasn't it? Down. At the end, where it starts, I think, you know, who's the first star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? The Beatles. Know this, American. Come on.
Yeah.
But just down from there was,
I can't remember the name, but basically you saw that it's neon entrance in, you know, imagine like
Bates Motel. It was
So cool. You'd see like this neon sign, and then you walk through this kind of little corridor thing, and there's all these really old TVs and stuff playing old films, and then you go through this curtain, and there's just wall-to-wall porn and porn playing on the TVs and stuff. So straight away, before you've entered the bar, the vibe's been set. You
know, yeah. Whether they know, do they know that it's like intentionally cheap and seedy, or is it just cheap and seedy?
A bit of both.
Yeah,
a bit of both.
There's like a pizza shop. There's like a dry cleaners and a chicken shop underneath. You know, it's so motel.
In the bar, it's actually really nice.
Yeah, posh.
Cocktails. It attracted quite of a posh crowd. It's just a nice little touch before you got in there.
Yeah.
Like, just to make a little joke of it as well was...
Are you ready for this? Yeah. You're a good girl. Can I cover your eyes?
Yeah. And like, I think I shielded the girl's eyes.
This is not for you. This is not for you. What would your mother say? Yeah, but
brilliant bar, yeah.
Write your suggestions below, but there's one in Warsaw, which is phenomenal, and there's one in London. Troy Francis is our London filth expert for venues, but there's some classic ones. So moving on to Troy Francis, can you first give an... this is so academic, this around the table. It's like Richard Dawkins talking to fucking...
Like a symposium.
Yeah, yeah.
Sleaze.
Hitchens and Dawkins. A historical overview of cities known for filth in Europe. You know, you gravitate to Berlin, but
yes,
I was surprised when you told me all about Vienna. I know Prague's one.
Barcelona in its grimy days, dangerous grimy days.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's a lot of filth around Europe generally, and I mean, the main one, like you say, the main one that really, I think a lot of people gravitate to is Berlin, because it's always had that kind of slightly seedy aspect to it from the days of the Weimar Republic, really, you know, the 1920s with the cabaret bars and everything. Yeah, yeah, exactly, all that kind of stuff, and, you know, taking laudanum and opium and all this kind of stuff, you know. So Berlin's always had that kind of licentious feel to it, you know, that history.
Is that why you chose it as a base?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, I've always had this kind of fascination with Berlin. And as we've said before, it's not necessarily the best place, certainly for day game. I think the night game is good there because the nightlife's so crazy. But I was fascinated with it for other reasons, really. It's always had that kind of fascinating history. Loads of, like, great artists have lived there. Like, David Bowie was there, Iggy Pop. You know, U2 recorded an album there. Depeche Mode recorded a couple of their albums there. Nick Cave lived there. So in a rock history sense, you know, it's got this massive thing. And but yeah, I mean, like I was saying before, the scene, I mean, it just blew my head off, really, the first time I went. It was just crazy, some of the stuff there. But Vienna as well. You know, Vienna's got quite a naughty history. So, you know, there's my friend, if you go on Twitter, you know the guy Ernst Graf.
This is a poetic guy.
Yeah.
should point that out, because he's not a gamer. Whether he knows about game, I don't know. But he's so honest about banging hookers. And his whole thing is about...
Yeah.
It's obsession with filth, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if on Twitter he's called Marquis de Chard, I think. He changes his name sometimes, but his handle is Ernst Graf. I've interviewed him a couple of times. I interviewed him in my last book, which is about strip clubs. He's just... exactly. But he's just a really interesting writer of people, you know. I mean, as Tom said, he's not a game guy, but he is a really great writer about travel, and particularly about dirty, naughty travel.
Yeah. Bukowski would have loved him. He just doesn't give a fuck. He's like, this is how it is.
Yeah.
This is how I fuck. This is my obsession with fucking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And basically he goes to, I mean, Berlin's one of his places. Vienna is another one. So through him, I learned a bit about the red light district in Vienna.
Budapest, would you say? I know for porn. Hungary is...
Well, Budapest isn't one of Ernst's places. No. Although he does go there. I'm reading his journals at the moment, the second volume, and he does go to Budapest, actually, but it's not one of his main places. But for me, yeah, Budapest. Because I was seeing a girl over there last year.
Budapest?
Yeah, in Budapest, yeah. I went a few times, and we went to a few seedy places. We went to a kind of a sex shop where there were video cabins at the back, which was quite interesting. And we went to... Where else did we go? Certainly I know there's kind of a BDSM type scene there, because she was involved with that, so she was going to parties there and things like that.
Look at the amount of porn that comes out there must be a, you know. I've had other day students, I knew one student Czech, I won't say his name, but before he got into day game he had a harem of hookers, and he'd been seeing them for like 10 years, so
really?
He'd actually built up relationships. He was paying them, but it was, and they were but it was a weird, like, grey area. Yeah. And they were fucking hot, and they were, you know, webcam porn stars.
Ben, right, yeah,
I'm digressing, but
yeah. Yeah, Budapest got, I mean, yeah, it's definitely got a seedy side to it, and you've got those fantastic like sauna type pool things as well, so you've got the pool parties there as well, which I want to check out this summer. Yeah. But it's got a great feeling to it, hasn't it, Budapest? It's got like lots of... There's still quite a sex industry there. There's still... Yeah, so it's kind of... It's quite sleazy.
Run down bits.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the tad, isn't it? That's the tell.
Yeah, I think so. It was kind of... It was interesting what Craig was saying, actually, because the thing about an atmosphere in a city, I think, is really important. And sometimes when you've got a city that's a little bit naughty or a little bit dirty, then that atmosphere kind of permeates into the game well.
Definitely. Bars and...
Yeah. So even someone like Berlin, like a lot of people go to Berlin, you know, because they kind of want to have a bit of a naughty experience. They kind of want to do something a little bit, you know, out of the ordinary. So if you're there as somebody who's doing game, then that really gives you, does you a favour, because the atmosphere is sort of a little bit naughty.
Well, go on then, link us to, in the last podcast, it was all about fetish, BDSM, strip clubs and stuff, but this one is... Corrupting an innocent mind in Berlin, is it? Was she innocent to start with?
So my friend Anastasia, who's from Russia, who'll probably listen to this, so I've got to
say it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation before about it.
You were just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello, Anastasia.
Yeah, yeah. let's say, I called her, Anya, or Anastasia. But anyway, she's from Russia. I don't know the extent of her depravity before coming to Berlin, but I think she was certainly very interested to check out the nightlife in Berlin and the different
for research, as Frank says.
Yeah, exactly. The different sort of, you know, like nightlife haunts and stuff like that. I think she certainly had an interest in that sort of area, but I don't know the extent to which she'd been to the parties and stuff.
Come on, then, what did you do?
So we had a whole kind of week of debauchery in Berlin, which was a lot of fun. So I met her in St. Petersburg, and then she came over to visit in Berlin, and we basically had a whole week of just going to different sort of crazy venues together. And enjoying the fruits of them, which was a lot of fun. So the first thing that we went to, because she said to me, I want to go to explore the nightlife in Berlin, and she said, and if we're going to do it, I want to go to the most extreme places.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. So the first place we went to was Insomnia, which is quite a famous club in Berlin for, you know, fetish swingers parties and that kind of stuff. And we went on the Wednesday, and it was a BDSM party. They only had the cellar open, so the rest of the club was all closed. And we went down into the basement, and we saw some very, very strange sights down there.
Was this the one with the guy in the back?
Yeah.
That is very German. You can imagine this in Germany.
I mean, some of the crazy stuff that we saw is sort of beggars belief, really. And I mean, you know, I hasten to add, I mean, we weren't sort of... It's kind of weird because you go to a place like this with a girl, and it's not that you're sort of turned on by the stuff that you see, but it definitely adds a frisson to the thing. But anyway, we were sitting in the bar, and we were just kind of waiting to see what happened. And this guy comes in, this older guy, probably in his 50s, comes in with a bag, sort of like this big bag, and we heard this kind of clinking as he was unpacking the bag. And I said to Anastasia, you know, what's that? She said, well, let's go and have a look. So we went into the room where he was, and he was carefully unpacking this bag.
Oh, such a lonely image.
Yeah. We're sort of taking out these pipe things and this black sort of piece of kind of sheeting. And we were looking, going, what the hell is this, you know? And he started sort of constructing this thing, putting this thing together. And it was, and we were like, what's he doing? And then basically it was a black latex bag with these tubes that sort of went into the bag. And then he got into the bag, and there were these two ladies wearing sort of dominatrixy outfits who were assisting him. And he gets into the bag, and they connected the bag to a vacuum cleaner. And started sucking all the air out of the bag. So the guy was in this black latex bag being asphyxiated, and you could see, as they sucked the air out of the bag, you could just see all of his body outlined because he was, you know.
Wasn't David Blaine, was it?
Yeah. It was like a very wrong sort of version of that. And these ladies then started sort of like, you know, like hitting him with these riding crop things on different parts of his body. It was all very strange. Shall I go on, or do you think we're getting to?
No, the guy's on the edge of the seat. Did he die?
No, he was alive. No,
shook him off. What happened?
He remained alive. There must have been air holes or whatever in this bag for him to obviously to breathe through. Anyway, so that after these women had finished hitting him, they opened a little hole and took his penis out. So he's in this black bag and his penis is just sticking out. And one of the ladies starts to pleasure him orally.
Yeah, you're so polite. were people hanging around just drinking a drink?
Yeah, people were just, yeah, so me and Anastasia were just sitting at the bar just having a drink, and other people were just kind of sitting around watching.
Germans are so fucking
weird, like, yeah. Art gallery, isn't it? Like,
staring at it. You know, there's a bit of music playing and, you know, whatever.
So weird. Craig's weird, but that is fucking weird.
Well, anyway, so they suck the guy off. and he finishes, and then the dominatrix ladies sort of laugh and walk off, leaving him in the bag. And me and Anastasia just see, we're just looking at him, and he's just finished, and his cock is sort of sticking up, sort of full mast.
Yeah.
And then slowly, it starts to droop.
What a metaphor.
Yeah.
That man's life.
Slowly.
By day, I bet you he works in an office. In an accounting office.
It was so forlorn, though, just the slow sort of, you know. And then they let him out of the bag and everything, and then he kept very carefully started to pack up the equipment. And
Bukowski would love that stuff.
Yeah, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And that's obviously why you live in Berlin.
Well, I mean, you know, it's I don't know really. I mean, things like that. What could you say really? I mean, it's weird, it's crazy. But every time I go to Berlin, I see something like that, and I'm just like, what the hell is this? You know.
Well, in a way, it's honest, isn't it? That's why, you know, when people watch Vice documentaries, I'd encourage you to do that now. Go and look at Vice documentaries. They used to be cool. They've gone slightly weird, and just go to most popular viewed. Like, rank them. And can you guess what number one is? I told you what number one is.
Mm.
What are guys Googling? What are guys watching on Vice? Come on, man, you can guess. Is it about marijuana or is it about sex dolls?
It's about hookers and
sex dolls. And then, right. So number one is all sex. Number two is drugs. Number three is, like, violence.
So we got that trend in Japan now where the sex doll industry in Japan is just booming, like absolutely booming.
Yeah. I've ordered one.
One's modelled on me.
I think in Germany there's now a brothel where you can go with a sex doll.
Yeah, yeah, I read
get
about
one
that.
While you're there.
Yeah. I read about that. I mean, you know, it's
mental.
It's crazy.
But it's human, yeah?
Yes.
And so why people like Bukowski and why girls used to queue up outside Charles's house. Mm-hmm. As he's an ugly old dude, his wife or his partner would come out and say, "Can I help you?" You know, two hot LA girls, and they, "Why are you here?" "Oh, we want to see Mr. Bukowski." "What, for an autograph?" "No, we want to fuck him." Because he's a dirty old man. Every week he wrote a column called "Notes from a Dirty Old Man." So anyway, just my chip in for this dirtiness in Czech Republic, because if you're a day gamer, by the way, the Czech Republic is definitely filthier than Poland. I spent a while in Poland, and I drove the van into Czech Republic, and things started to get very filthy. Like, not just me wanking in a van, but this is the weird link. I was watching a few of them Vice documentaries for research, and one of the ones I clicked on that I knew nothing about, because like you said, it unveils a world that you don't know anything about, often like gangs, or I was watching one about like the Colombian drug route, and then there's one on furries. Right?
Oh, right.
Is anybody? Like, yeah. You were. Oh, yeah. Frank. Don't you pretend, mate. You've got one of them suits, right? Yeah, people that dress up as animals.
Right.
And the first reason they do it is a fetish. Yeah. The second reason they do it is like cosplay. The third reason they do it is they're just a bit nerdy, you know, weird.
Right.
So I watched this documentary and it's short, and I thought, that is fucking weird. Like, I've met people that dress up as Star Trek, but I've never met a furry. I arrive in this Czech city, I won't say what it was. I did 10 sets. It was a very productive thing. I only did day game for one day. And she was girl number two. And I stopped her, she was wearing a Beatles t-shirt. That was the in. And I noticed she didn't have a bra on. So when I was staring at her t-shirt going, "Oh, that's Paul McCartney," I was just looking at her tits, and she knew I was looking at her tits. I will include the post-sex interview at some point in this podcast because it confirms everything I'm saying. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. She's a bit rock and roll. She's young, but legal. Take her out. First date. We go through that whole verbal spikes. I say, have you got any secrets? Any guilty pleasures? And she looks really guilty. And she goes, I like furries. And I had just watched the documentary. And I went, fuck up. Show me. And she's going, "Oh, this is my boyfriend. I love him, you know, we're into furry stuff, we're into conventions, I'm a nerd, but I like Marilyn Manson."
Mm.
And in my head I'm going, "Oh fuck, she's in love with the guy, but this is fucking cool." Anyway, long story short, a couple of beers, got her to the van, 99% of the way there she goes, "I can't, you know, I'm just in love, I've had two guys, there's no way." And, you know, blue balls, you go, "Oh, for fuck's sake," and I was so horny. The weekend went past, I didn't even message her, and then bing, Monday she sends me a message like, "Oh, lovely day, where are you? Do you want to hang out?"
Mm.
and I've shown you this message. I'm like, hang out. Like, what? And she's like, rum, Captain Morgan. I said, yeah, I've got some rum. And she goes, should I bring some cola or weed? And then I'm like, okay, fuck it. I turned the van around because I was on my way to see Troy Francis. Went, drove back an hour. Yeah, and smashed her in the van. And then afterwards, I took her to a park. She wanted to get me stoned. She told me all about furries, and that's what the clip I'll put on now.
You have to wear a furry. Yeah,
you missed out the part where you bought a costume.
Well, obviously.
That's why she changed her. That was why she turned around.
Well, A, she's utterly filthy. Mm. Sounds like the Finnish girl, you know. She was fucking wild in this van. Oh, let me just add in that filthy note that I banged in a van, should put on music, and when you're in the van, you're in your little bubble. You don't think there's a world outside.
Yeah.
We came out of the van about 5 p.m., 4:30. And we didn't realise there's a fucking little mini bar open. There's families and people sitting outside, and they all just look like they obviously knew, man. Like she was screaming. Wow. So anyway, that's filthy as well.
If the van's rocking, don't come and knock it.
Don't laugh, your sister might be inside. But I did say at the end of that weed session, I said, I've never fucked somebody wearing like a tail or an animal costume, and she just
wearing a tail.
No, but with her boyfriend, they fuck as furries. Jeez.
That's got to be hot, hasn't it? Apart from anything else.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
But would you? That's what everyone's thinking. Would you fuck a girl dressed as a nerdy superhero or a furry? It's fucking hot, man. She looks like a fox.
Would you do it, mate? You would.
Superhero.
Yeah. Animal.
An animal.
No, like a cartoon character, anime.
I guess, yeah.
You
which,
would.
Which cartoon character?
Just for the experience, you would, wouldn't you?
It's like you got to try it.
I was horny for a 38-year-old busted waitress last night who looked like she was a mail order bride. So I would definitely take the hot 20-year-old superhero chick.
Yeah, but I get it. It's like a niche, isn't it? You want to try it. And I even kind of get her furry thing when she was describing it. But that was a Czech girl. That was filthy. All these stories today were filthy. What's the theme of the podcast? There isn't one really, except, oh yeah, what we were saying at lunchtime. Because you might think, okay, Barcelona's sanitized, Prague is sanitized, New York is kind of sanitized.
Berlin's getting sanitized.
Berlin, people say it's sanitized.
I mean, there's still some crazy stuff happening there, but it's gentrifying, you know, and that's going to have a knock-on effect, I think.
So I was saying to you and Frank, if you really want to find like crazy punk filth, like Wild West, it's the Wild East. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Bulgaria, Romania right now, obviously Ukraine. There's all these Russian cities that nobody's ever been to or ever heard of. So, you know, you don't get depressed and think, oh, there's no filth out there. Even in a normal city like Bristol, Cardiff, there's always a layer, but you have to look for it now, don't you?
And the value of that filth is, I think for me, is like I said, if you go to a place where there's that kind of atmosphere, then even if you're not interested in that stuff, and that's fair enough, it sort of comes out and infects the mood of the place. Yeah. So, you know.
She is interested, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why they go to the sex museum here, you know?
Yeah, and you go to, I mean, and I felt it actually in Prague for the first time, because I've been here a few times, but generally with girls and things. And this time, I can feel that sense of like it's a little bit naughty. It's a little bit kind of, and that comes through in the interactions when you're talking to, you know, if you're meeting girls in day game or whatever.
Polish girls pretend to be filthy, but the interesting thing is they're quite conservative. Mm-hmm. There's a Catholic thing going on, but here, no, there's a history of filth.
What you're going to do tonight, isn't it?
Nice.
You need to become more sexual in your day game, so we're going to do it a little bit later, and you should feel that vibe. Because it's definitely...
It's one of the best cities in the world, man.
Yeah, definitely.
They say Helsinki, Prague, probably Barcelona still. New York. Mm-hmm. London has a... When the sun goes down, London gets very filthy. And I've lived in Soho. You've lived in Soho.
London's really good, actually. Particularly now when it's coming into... It's getting... Well, it's freezing there at the moment. But as we go into the sort of early summer, it's really nice because, you know, you have a really sunny day. And then when the sun starts to go down, it starts to feel... Like you said, the atmosphere just changes.
Yeah.
You can feel it on Oxford Street, can't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like... 100%. And it gets kind of a bit naughty. And that's when you start to get these crazy, you know, quick things happening and quick escalations happening and stuff.
Are you travelling anymore, mate? Or are you back to England?
Back to England, but I'm... That's the thing. I have been travelling around. I'm still active. I'm just not posting as much stuff with my face out there for other reasons, legal or not.
Fair enough, man. No, but
I'm teaching quite a lot actually at the minute. So,
is your website still live?
It is. I've taken a step back from it really, and that's kind of, in a way, helped my results.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean by it.
Yeah. We spoke about this at Christmas, but and being in a van forces me, because I've gone to them smaller cities, I can't do 50 approaches like you do in Prague, like Frank's been doing. So I've had to do 10 to 20. In Vilnius, I did 30, I think, or 28, and it was too much. So yeah, you've got to become real, like, choosy, stealth, sneaky, and on, and only do it when you really feel that horny vibe. So there's a little tip. Yeah. It wouldn't be for beginners, because beginners, you've got to churn it out, man.
That's the caveat. It's not for beginners. You've got to actually learn. You've got to learn it ground up first, just so you know where you are at all times. But then it becomes, what's the most efficient way? I think it's gutter game, hands down, to get legged. Night game, you've got cock blocks, things like that to deal with. Generally, people aren't going to be, if they're in a nightclub or a bar, they don't want to leave pre.
It's a lot of work.
Midnight, 1 a.m. And then day game, people might have things to do. And even gutter game, it's kind of the best of both worlds. You've got the seediness, fastness, craziness of night game with the anonymity and, you know, lack of competition, the speed of day game. So
got to film it, man.
I know.
Keep saying to Craig, I'll pay for your flights to Vegas, because if we could capture on camera what I've, you know, I've travelled with Craig, I've seen the gut game. You know, hope maybe one day we'll just blur your face, man. We'll put you in a furry costume. There you go. It's not Craig Castino. He looks like him, but it's not Craig.
Speaks like him.
Yeah, no, it's not. I promise you.
So have you seen that big furry bear in the middle of Old Town Square? That's me. That's me, number farming.
If you're in Disneyland, kids, and you see a bear come up to you, it's Craig Castino. But that would probably work, actually.
Right. We'll film some gutter game one time.
It's hard to capture. It's such a tricky vibe.
It really is the sweet spot, though, isn't it? Like you say, I mean, you know, and like I think about it in London, you know, sometimes when I've had, you know, first day lays or whatever, they've come through what really through gutter game, because it's at the end of the, it's at evening, later evening, you know, so your day game stretches into the evening, and then as it, the sun goes down, it starts to get a bit seedy, and that's when things happen.
It works everywhere. We've done it in Harlem, we've done it in Vegas, we did it in Vancouver. It's not like a European thing. It really works in America. It works in Sydney.
Yeah.
Every city has this switch.
Yeah.
But I think it's an important thing for beginners to try anyway, because of the vibe that you need to make these kind of crazy things happen. That'll help you in the day. That'll help you stand out as not just, because you're doing a very social day game.
Mm.
Doing all this crazy stuff at night will actually spill over and improve your day game in general. So for sure, do some gutter game. At least try it. It's my favourite style. And when we were on that world tour, it was like,
it's the only option.
Yeah, we'll save your energy and go out towards the end of the night. Smash it.
Lazy fucker. But to tie it all up, if you want to make it even easier, go to a sin city. Right, so I shouldn't have to tell you where they are. If you're in America, you could go to New York, go to Vegas, go to Miami, go to Austin, Texas, which was shit for day game, to be honest. But that dirty street, what's it called?
Sixth Street,
yeah, made for gutter game, yeah. Anywhere with that vibe, like even Cardiff, right? Cardiff, not great for day game, but gutter game. Bristol, Manchester. Yeah, it's untapped, so we'll go into this a lot more. But anyway, cheers to Mr. F. Frank.
Thank you.
Cheers to Troy Francis.
Thank you very much.
All the links are below, ching ching. And to Mr. Craig Custy, all the links are below.
Cheers.
From Chesky, we say Nazgrirano, I think. I should fucking know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's embarrassing. We say cheerio. Ta-da.
See ya. You seem very relaxed. Didn't freak out that a British guy took you to his van.
It's awesome. Who wouldn't want that?
I don't know. People make a joke saying like, oh, creepy, you know, creepy van, kidnap van.
It's funny.
If you said to your mum, I just had sex with a British guy in a van, what would she say?
She would get heart attack.
Yeah.